the true word of God. The word of God is true. I believe what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I believe God has given us this word. I believe God has given us this book so I can live a victorious Christian life. Not just when I die, but right now, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Open your Bibles, please, to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 3. What a mighty God we serve. Amen. Open the floodgates of heaven. Amen. Let it rain. Are you there yet? I want you to look at verse number 20. Verse 20 says, amen, I wait till you get there. I hear some pages turning, or some pages, paper rattling, or whatever. Amen. Verse 20 says, now unto him that is able, somebody say able. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh where? In us. Verse 21 says, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen? Remind me of that song, Tyrone song, our God is champion. He reigns forevermore. Forevermore. Amen? It should not be a secret to anyone to know that we serve a God of abundance. Okay? We serve a God of abundance. But it's sad to say that it is a secret to some people, and I'm talking about including Christians. It's sad to say that it is a secret to some people, and including Christians. And the reason why I say that is because there are so many people in this world who are barely making it. Okay, I mean barely making it. In other words, they are not having their needs met. Okay, they are barely making it. Amen. And because they are barely making it, they are struggling in many areas of life. I'm not talking about just one area. They are struggling in many areas of life because they do not realize that we serve a God who is a God of abundance. Are y'all still with me this morning? Amen. And it's really, really sad that Christians are struggling. It's really sad that Christians are not having their needs met. Now, it's sad for anyone, but especially for Christians. And the reason why I say that is because as Christians, we are supposed to be the example to the rest of the world of how good God is. Are y'all still with me? They should be able to see our God's abundant through our abundant living. Now, I'm not talking about just in finances. I'm talking about in every area of life. Because many times people always want to focus on finances. Well, yeah, that's part of it. But we should be the example to the people of how good God is, just like the children of Israel were supposed to be an example to the nations of how good God is. Are y'all still with me this morning? But some Christians are not an example of him, or doesn't show us example of his goodness, because they do not really know him. They know of him, but they do not really know him, because if they really knew him, they would not be struggling the way they're struggling. They will know how to have their needs met, because we know the Bible tells us that my God shall supply all of our needs. Are you all still with me? Philippians 4:19. Amen. So many Christians know of him, but they do not know him. And the reason why they do not know him is because they do not spend time to get to know him. Are y'all still with me? See, everybody know of him. Well, not everybody, but many people. They know of him. And many people who know of him, they will use the little of what they know about him to receive things from other people. Are y'all still with me? They will use the little bit that they know about him to receive things from other people. Now, they don't know him, but they know about him. And they will use their little knowledge to receive things from other people. Well, Pastor, what are you talking about? Let me give you an example. Anytime, well, I don't know about you, but I'm just going to talk for me. When I'm driving through the city of Killeen, many times I see someone standing on the corner, you know, and they want someone to sow money into their little bucket or whatever they have. Now, don't get me wrong. I know that there are some people out there who are genuine. You know, they really need it. But how many of you know there are some people out there, they don't really need it? In other words, they probably have more money than I have. But they know how to work the system because they know a little bit about God. Y'all still with me? See, they might not know him, but they know of him. And what they do is they will get a little sign and they will write a scripture on their sign. Because they know that when a Christian comes by there and they see that little scripture on the sign, God loves you, God's going to bless you, they will bite the bait. Are y'all still with me? See, that's why you have to be led by the Holy Spirit in the things that you do. Because Satan will easily deceive you. They always have a scripture. Because they know they have a scripture, it's going to draw them in. There's something about the name of Jesus. But if they would take that same scripture that they're trying to show to you and I and look at it themselves, then maybe they would get to know God is a God of abundance. Because listen to this, if they can make it to the corner, they certainly can make it to the house of the Lord. Are y'all still with me this morning? Now, nothing against people, because I know that people are struggling. I know people need things. But they know a little about God, and they use what they know about God to receive things from other people. Are y'all still with me this morning? Amen. So, see, if they knew him, or if the other, if Christians, I'm talking about everyone, if they knew him, they would know that he is a God who does not want anyone to struggle in life. I'm talking about Lottie, Dottie, and everybody. He doesn't want anyone to struggle in life. He wants them to have their needs met, okay? He wants them to have their needs met so they will be able to receive, not just have their needs met, but have their needs met in abundance. Are y'all still with me? Because when I have my needs met in abundance, then I have enough to share with someone else. That's just the kind of God we serve. Amen? See, I don't believe that anyone who is struggling really wants to struggle. I mean, have you ever met anyone to say, I'm so glad I'm struggling? Praise the Lord. I don't believe there's anyone out in this world who really wants to struggle. I just don't believe that. But listen, they wouldn't struggle if they did the things that are required of them to not struggle. I truly believe that. Because there are things that we need to do that are required of us so we will not be in a position where we are struggling in life and not having our needs met. Now, y'all stay with me. Amen, amen, amen. Are you still with me this morning? See, if they really knew God, not of him, because a lot of Christians, they know that Jesus Christ saved them, but that's it. They don't go any further because they don't spend much time in God's word. But if we really knew God, we would fully understand what Paul is saying in Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 20. We'd fully understand. Let's take a look at that verse again, because I want to point some things out to you here. In verse number 20, Paul is talking to the Christians in Ephesus here. And he told them in verse number 20, we've already read it, we're going to read it again. He says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding. How you know that word exceeding means over and beyond? He's able to do exceeding abundantly. How many know that the word abundantly means in a super abundant way? So he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all overflow, above all that we do what? Ask or what? Think. Do y'all see that? The Bible says he's able to do it. And yes, he is able to do it. He's able to do it. He is able to exceed our expectations or lack of expectations. Because some people don't believe he can do it. But God is able to exceed our expectations or our lack of expectations. He's able to do it, okay, in a super abundant way. Are y'all still with me? Because he is a God of abundance. Now stay with me because I'm telling you, amen, amen, amen. He is a God of abundance. He's able to do it. How many of you know when someone is able to do something, that doesn't mean they're going to do it. They're able to do it. Now, don't get me wrong, because God is able to do things. I mean, how many of you are able to run a half a mile? Anybody here? That doesn't mean you're going to do it. You're just able to do it. Oh, y'all still with me this morning? So he's able to do it. Are y'all still with me? Because he's a God of abundance. He is able to meet all of our need according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus. He's able to do it. Are y'all still with me? Amen, amen, amen. This gets better. The question is, if God is a God of abundance, and he's able to do exceeding and abundantly above overflow, above all that we can ask or think, if he is able to meet my expectations or my lack of, if he's able to do that, then why is it that God is allowing people in this world to struggle? Why is it that God is allowing people in this world to not have their needs met? And the reason why I ask the question, why is God doing it? Because everything that happens bad, people think God is doing it. Why is he doing it? Well, Christians, I'm here to tell you. The answer to that question is found in the verse that we just read. It is? Yes, it is. See, that's why when you read the Bible, you gotta pray to the Holy Spirit will help you to lead it, and you need to study it from a spiritual point of view. Remember, we're growing up spiritually? You gotta be able to see things from a spiritual point of view. You have to take the scripture and dissect it. Are you all still with me? The answer to that question is found in the scripture. Pastor, it is? Yes, it is. Let's go, let's look at it. The Bible says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can do what? Ask or think. According to the power that do what? Work and work in us. Look at how God is able to do it. That's his able. See, this is one thing we need to understand about God. God has a system of how he does things. See, when the Bible says that his ways are above our ways, his thoughts are above our thoughts, it's not just a scripture in the Bible. It's reality. God has a way of how he does things. And listen to this. How did he redeem us? He sent Jesus. How do we receive salvation? Well, that's why he sent Jesus. That's just his way of doing it. He could have just blinked his eye and everyone could be saved. But his way is he sent Jesus. See? And if we want to experience God's exceeding abundantly in every area of life, we need to find out how we receive it. Well, once again, the Bible says that he does it according to the power that do what? Worketh in us. Verse 21 says again, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages. I like to say, like Tyrone said, forevermore. Are y'all still with me this morning? Amen. What am I trying to get you to see this morning? What I'm trying to get us to see, because the word is for me also, y'all know I always say that. What I'm trying to get us to see is, it's not so much of God allowing people to struggle. It's the fact that they have chosen to struggle. Are y'all still with me? God is not allowing them to struggle. Life is a choice. I said before you, life and death, blessing and cursing, choose life so you and your seed will be blessed, right? They have chosen to struggle. They have chosen to not have their needs met. It's a choice. They've chosen. It's a choice. Are y'all still with me? Well, Pastor, since you think you know everything, how have they chosen to struggle? I mean, nobody wants to struggle. How have they chosen to not have their needs met? Because everyone wants their needs met. How have they chosen? How many of you know that I am so glad that you ask that question? Let me tell you how they've chosen it. Because they are not allowing the power that's working in them to do what the power that's working in them is supposed to do. They are not allowing the power that's working in them to do what the power is working in them to do. In other words, what they are doing is that they are fighting against the power. If you're looking for a title for today's message, the title is called Fighting Against the Power. Are y'all still with me? See, instead of flowing in the power, they're fighting against it. They're fighting against it. And when they fight against the power that's working in us, now we're going to talk about the power in a minute. I haven't got that far. But if they're fighting against the power that's working in them, then they will never win. They'll always struggle. They're fighting against it. Now, I'm gonna show you later on. Well, I haven't got there yet. Don't be rushing me, amen. But I'm going to show you how they're fighting it. Because y'all tune in to Channel 2 this morning. Hey, I don't know, it's about this message. I got to get this thing. They're chosen. They are not allowing the power that's working in them do what the power is working in them to do. They're fighting against it. Are y'all still with me? Amen. See, the power is working in us to put us in a position so we can receive God's exceeding abundance. So we will not struggle. That's what the power is working in us to do. That's what it's working in us to do. To put us in a position so we would not struggle in life. To put you in a place where there's no more struggling. I mean, they're working to do that on the inside of us. I mentioned to you many times in the past, when we accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, everything you need is on the inside of you. You have the total package. We don't need to be looking somewhere over the rainbow. What you have is on the inside of you. The Bible says the Holy Spirit, the body is the temple of who? And where is he? I hope he's in there. Everything, you have the total package. See? And as the power continues to do what is inside of us to do, people continue to distract it by fighting against it. And do you know what they're fighting against the power with? They're fighting against the power with their unrenewed mind. They're going against what the power is trying to do. With their mind. I mean, how can you fight spiritual with mental? You can't. Are y'all still with me? You can't. See, there was a song out many, many years ago, and many of you are going to remember this song, because a lot of y'all used to dance to it at the club. There's a song called Fight the Power. Tigers remember, because he smiled. He's like, yeah, I used to be on the floor. And look, fight the power. Listen, the power on the inside of you is not the kind of power that you should be fighting. Because the power on the inside of us is there to help us, to keep us from struggling. See? Not to fight it, but to keep us from struggling. But many people in this world, because they think they know more than the power knows that's working on the inside of them, they are debating and fighting against the power. As I just said, when you have mental versus spiritual, it always equals struggles. Always. Always. Instead of flowing with the power, people are fighting against it. See, the ones who are flowing with the power are the ones who are being blessed going in, blessed going out, blessed in the city, blessed in the field. They're not struggling in life because they're going along with the flow of the power. But the ones who are fighting against it, they are struggling. Now, let's talk a little bit about this power. See, because, see, this power that's on the inside of us, this working in us, this is supernatural power. Are y'all still with me? This is not like when you go to the gym and power lift. This supernatural power. Listen, from on high. I'm talking about that dunamis power. That force power. You know, you remember the movie a long time ago that came out? It said, the force is with you. Listen, that force might not be with you, but this force is with you. Are y'all still with me this morning? See, y'all got to get this message today because this is going to change your life. It's going to help you change other people's life out there who's fighting against the power. You know, we're talking about miraculous power. We're talking about when it seems like the floor is getting ready to cave in, all of a sudden you find yourself in a brand new house. That kind of power. Are y'all still with me this morning? We're talking about divine power. Y'all smile when I say it. Jasmine, you smile about that divine power, didn't you? Listen, we're talking about Holy Ghost power. And the Bible says that the Holy Spirit came to lead us. How many of you know the Holy Spirit is also, listen to this, I'm going to say it this way. I like the way this sounds right here. How many of you know the Holy Spirit is supervising the rest of the power that's on the inside of us? Good God Almighty. Hallelujah. He's supervising the power. Because he came to lead and guide us to what? All truth. So he's the leader of the power. From the inside. Are y'all still with me? And once again, people are fighting the power with their mind because they are trying to reason in their mind instead of letting the power do the work on the inside of them. You know, in Isaiah chapter 1, Isaiah chapter 1, verse number 18, you know, the Bible says, come, let us reason what? Together. In other words, what God's saying is that there shouldn't be any division in the way I reason, in the way you reason. He said, your reason needs to line up with my reason. He said, although your sins may be as scarlet, then they should be what? White as snow, thank you. I mean, we can go there if y'all want to. Amen, amen, amen. Matter of fact, go to Isaiah chapter 1. Y'all, somebody say you wanted to go there. Amen. Isaiah 1. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. See, we need to line up our mind with God, the mind of Christ. Are y'all still with me? They're fighting against it with their mind. Are you there yet? Look what the Bible says in verse 18, Isaiah 1:18. It says, come now. He's talking to the children of Israel here. He says, let us reason together. In other words, my reason must line up with God's reason. My mind must line up with God's mind. I must have the mind of Christ. Said the Lord, though your sins be as what? Scarlet. They shall be as white as what? Listen. Condition. Only if your reason lines up with my reason. There are conditions. He says, though they be red like crimson, they should be as what? Wool. That's what he said. That's exactly what he said. Are y'all still with me? See, people are fighting against the power because, now Christians, I don't know why Christians are doing it, but many people doing it is because they have no foundation. They have no foundation. And you know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the Bible says there is no other foundation laid but Christ Jesus. So any other foundation, you know, they might cave through the floor. You all still with me? See? And because they have no foundation, they continue to fall deeper, deeper, deeper into Strugglesville. Y'all ever been there before, Strugglesville? See, the power is working on the inside of us to try to get us to obey the word of God so we can have our needs met. It's working in us to get us to do that. But the mind is causing us to not focus on the word, and people are listening to the mind because the mind puts them in a place that they think is more comfortable for them. See, some people think it's more comfortable to do what they want to do instead of do what the word of God wants them to do. Because many times when we do what the word says, it takes an effort. But when we follow the mind, it don't really take much of an effort. Have you all ever noticed that? Well, maybe you haven't because maybe you don't follow your mind. Amen? But those who do, they know. Don't take, take an effort. See, when we follow the word, we have to make some sacrifices. Sometimes we have to give up some things. Listen, sometimes we got to give up some people. Are y'all still with me? See. But to give them up. Well, they're my friend. Okay. That's my boo. Okay. Boo, boo, boo. Are y'all still with me this morning? Hallelujah. They want to follow the mind because the mind puts them in a comfortable position. But how many know it's going to cost them? And in many cases, it's already costing them. Why? Because they are struggling. Can't make it from day to day. Are y'all still with me? See? See, I'm going to talk about two ways how people are fighting against the power. With their mind. Number one, the way people are fighting against the power is that they are not accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, or they are not rededicating their life to Jesus when they get into a backslidden state. They know what they're supposed to do, but their mind is telling them, nah, I don't do it. Not now. And they're following the mind. Now, I know that the power is not working in them who has not accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And the reason why the power is not working in them is because they have not given the power the opportunity to work in them. Well, Pastor, how can they give the power the opportunity to work in them? Well, the way they give it the opportunity to work in them is that they have to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Because once we accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit came to live on the inside of us to represent himself and to represent Christ, because the Bible says that Christ in you, the hope of glory. Are you all still with me? So they are not allowing the opportunity for him to work in them, and as a result, they are struggling in life. Why? Once again, because they don't have a foundation. And when they start going down, they continue to go down more and more and more. Either they're not saved or they just have allowed something or someone to pull them away from God. And they have not rededicated their life and they continue to fall. See, there's a verse in the Bible in James chapter 1, maybe somewhere around the 17th verse. It says that all good gifts comes from where? Above. But people misinterpret this scripture sometimes. They read it like this: all good things come from above. And you have to be very careful how you say that. See, what they should say is anything that comes from above is good. If they're going to mess the scripture up, at least say it to make it make, you know, some sense. Everything that comes from above is good. Because, see, they might think they have a good thing, but it might not have come from above. And, see, it might be good just for a little while. But what it's doing, Satan is using it to work against you and me to pull them away from God. And when we are disconnected from God, we are inviting in the struggle demon. Because we're going to start struggling in areas of our life that we would not be struggling in if we had stayed connected to God and let the work be done on the inside of us by the divine workers, if you will. See. So we got to be careful. All good things come from above, and God blessed me with this. Well, maybe God didn't bless you with it. Maybe Satan blessed you with this to pull you away from God. Can't be deceived. The Bible says he's a deceiver. I mean, what else do the Bible need to tell us? Can't be deceived. Man told me a long time ago when I was a kid, everything that looks like it's gold ain't gold. Or everything that shines like gold ain't gold. And the same man used to always have this saying, up jumped the devil. I used to get away from him when he used to talk like that. I ain't got no time for no devil, amen. I gotta run. The second way that they are fighting against the power that works on the inside of them is they are not following the word. What do I mean by that? They are not following the conditions, okay? They are not following the conditions that they are required to follow to have their needs met. They're not following the conditions. I mentioned to you earlier, God has a way of doing things. His ways are above our ways. His thoughts are above our thoughts, you know? He has a system of how he does things. And God will not go against his word. He will not do it. See, he has a system. And a lot of things, the way we have our needs met, is that there are some conditions that we are required to meet. And if we do not meet those requirements, then we can't blame God when we start to struggle. I'm talking about in every area of life. I'm not focusing on one area. I'm talking about in every area of life. There are some conditions that we must meet. And if we do not meet those conditions, I can't even believe that. God, you know, why is this God? Why are you allowing me to struggle? No, he's not allowing you to struggle. He's not allowing me to struggle. We chose to do it. Because we're going against the power that's working on the inside of us. Are y'all still with me? Are you still at Isaiah? Amen. Look at this verse again we just read. Verse 18. The Bible says, come now, let us reason together, said the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be what? As wool. Verse 19, what's that first word? Condition. That's a condition. See? People think if, that's just a two-letter word. No, there's some power in if. If I had $1 million, amen. That's a power in if. Look at what the Bible says. He said, if you be what? Willing and what? Obedient, you shall eat what? The what? The good of the what? Land. Do you see that? There's a condition. The condition is that in order for me to eat the good of the land, I must be willing and what? Obedient. If I'm not willing and if I'm not obedient, I can't be complaining if there's nothing that's good in the land for me to eat. I missed out. And I can't blame God. Verse 20 says, but if you do what? Refuse. And do what? Rebel. You shall be devoured with the sword. And then the Bible tell you who's speaking right there. It said, for the Lord, the mouth of the Lord is spoken. Let the church say, amen. So God says, if you're willing and obedient. See, the problem with people who are struggling is that they are not willing and they're not obedient. They do what their mind tells them to do because what their mind tells them to do is much more comfortable for them. Are y'all still with me? And because of that, they are not eating the good of the land. Listen, they're eating, but they're not eating the good of the land. And I tell you what they are eating, I don't want no part of. Because what they are eating comes with a dessert called struggle. They're struggling in life. They're eating, but they're struggling in life. They're being defeated. Why? Once again, because they're following their mind and they are not allowing the power that's working in them to do what is working in them to do. They're fighting against it with the mind. Are y'all still with me? What they're eating, eating the fruit of their way. Go to Proverbs chapter 1. Or the first proverb, however you want to say. Proverbs 1. Proverbs 1. Are y'all still with me? I keep looking at the clock, man, because I got you. Amen, amen, amen. Proverbs 1. I'm going to help us today. When I was putting this message together, I mean, I was like, Elder Bondrian, I'm telling you, this was a hard one for me, man. I was just like, I changed it about 5 times. Like, go ahead, Lord, help me. Working on it again, I was changing up again like about 1 o'clock in the morning last night. I was like, I have got to go to bed. Went to bed, got up this morning at 6. I want to get out. I got to get back on it. And it came clear to me. See, sometimes you got to make sacrifices. Are y'all still with me? I told you to go where? Proverbs. Okay, good. Amen. Y'all paying attention. Good. Amen. Hallelujah. So in Proverbs 1, this is Solomon here, and he's talking about the danger of not listening or obeying the word of God or listen to God. I want to start with verse number 22 because he talked about 3 different categories of people. Look at verse number 22. He said, how long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity and the scorners delight in their scorning? How long? And how long will the fools hate what? Knowledge. How long? How long? We know God, he reigns forevermore, but how long will the simple ones love simplicity? The scorners delight in their scorning, and the fools hate knowledge. Don't you know knowledge is something that people are being destroyed for lack of? Hosea 4:6, right? I'll base scripture. The Bible says in verse 23, turn you at my rebuke. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you, because I have called and you refused. Verse 24, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. Verse 25 says, but you have set at naught all my advice. In other words, I've given you advice through the word, and we don't receive it. And would none of my reproof, King James say reproof, NIV says rebuke, same thing. I want you to go to verse number 29. Verse 29 says, for that they hated what? Knowledge. Hate. How can you hate knowledge? When the Bible says that, that's what people are being destroyed by. Not the knowledge, but not having it. It says, for they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They didn't reverence him. They didn't want any of my advice. They despised all my rebuke. Look at verse 31. This is what I'm getting to. It says, therefore, they shall eat of the fruit of what? Their what? Own way. And be filled with what? Their own devices. Notice what the Bible did not say. Notice they didn't say they would eat the good of the land. It said that they would eat the fruit of their own way. Are y'all still with me? And Christians, I'm here to tell you that the fruit of your own way always lead to one place. It leads to destruction. It leads to destruction. It leads to struggles and not having needs met in life. That's where it leads. And the bad thing about it is that people are in those situations because they're following other people. I tell you, sometimes you have to let people go. They're just doing what everybody else is doing. Everybody else is doing it, so why can't I? As Christians, listen, you have to separate yourself. We can't do what everybody else do. We have to do what the Word of God tells us to do. Are y'all still with me? The fruit of their own way is leading them down a road of destruction. And the reason why they are eating the fruit is because they are fighting against the work that's working on the inside of them to put them in a position so they won't have to struggle. They're fighting against it. Once again, mental versus spiritual equals struggle. We haven't learned anything else in school. You need to know that. Because the mental can't go up against the spiritual. That's why the Bible giving us spiritual weapons. Not to fight against the workers on the inside of you, but to fight against demonic forces. Why? Because you can't fight them with your mind. Are you all still with me? So as a result of them eating the fruit of their own way, they are following the wrong path. And by following the wrong path, listen to this, they are entering into the wrong gate. See, Jesus talked about two gates. He talked about two gates. He talked about one that leads to what? Destruction. And the other one that leads to what? Life. Not just any old kind of life, but abundant life. There's only two gates. But when I eat the fruit of my own way, I'm headed down the path that's going to automatically lead me to the road of destruction. I mean, I can't go out of that back door if I walk that way. I mean, how can I do that? If I'm walking this way, Elder Bondra, Pastor Ron, where are you going? I'm going out the back door. He going like, no, Pastor Ron, just the back door right there. You're going the wrong way. And how many know Christians going the wrong way? They're on the wrong path. The path that leads to destruction. And the reason why I said it already, they're doing it is because they're following other people instead of following the Word of God. Because it seems like the majority of the people is doing it, so if they're doing it, I might, no. Listen, we can't afford to do what the majority of the people are doing. We need to do what the Word of God tells us to do, regardless of who else is doing it. Are y'all still with me? Go to Matthew chapter 7. Because I always qualify what I say. Well, people won't say I'm making it up. And if it's my opinion, I'll say it's Ron chapter whatever, verse whatever. See, we need to know this because a lot of people are missing out in life. Why? Because they are not allowing the work to be done in them that the spiritual, the divine, the power of God has placed in them to do. Matthew chapter 7. See. Are you there yet? Look at what Jesus said in verse number 13, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He says, enter you at the what gate? How many know where straight means narrow? See, sometimes when you go through the narrow gate, there's some maneuvering you have to do. Have you ever went down a one-way street and you got to turn around? Now you got to back up and try to, you see? See, there's some work that needs to be done. If it's wide open, you're not going to even pay attention. You're just going to drive right through it because there's nothing that's going to get your attention. But if it's narrow, there's some things that you need to do differently. Are you all still with me? He said, enter you at the straight gate. Listen to this. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth where? Do you all see that? I want you to see that so you won't say I'm making it up. It's wide. And everybody wants the easy way. But I'm going that way because the road's wider. That's where everybody else is going. The spiritual worker, the Holy Spirit is saying, don't go that way. That's not the right, please don't go that way. Well, Holy Spirit, my mind told me that if I go that way, I'll get. Have you ever been driving on the highway? Listen to this. And there's a traffic jam ahead. And because we're so smart, we said, well, we're just going to take the shoulder road. I've done it many times. And when you take the shoulder road, one thing is that the highway does not have, that the shoulder road has, the highway doesn't have any stoplights. So not only do you end up behind 150 cars, you got to go through a lot of stoplights. And all those people you pass to get on the shoulder road, they're on the highway blowing at you. Bump. And listen, now we want to curse them out because of a dumb choice that we made. Anyway, back to the word. He says, enter you, verse 13, at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in it, or thereat, King James say. It says, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth to what? Life. And few there be that find it. Why? Because they don't search for it. They ain't got time. They ain't got time to search and see what thus says the Lord. I'm busy. And look what else Jesus said. He said, beware of the people that you are following down the road that leads to destruction. See, he said, beware of false prophets. Christians, see, let me share something with you. Notice that word prophets is not a capital P. See, we know when we see the capital P, it's talking about, the fivefold ministry prophet. You know, the ones that Jesus sent back, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, the teacher, and the apostle. This prophet right here is talking about just people in general. It's not talking about the fivefold. See, we need to understand that. He says, beware of the false prophet, which come in what? Sheep clothing. But inward they are ravening wolves. I'm a Christian, just like you. Yeah, I love the Lord. Yeah, come on, let's go. Go with me, let's go this way. Okay? Because Jesus even go on to tell us how we can recognize them. Regardless of what they say out of their mouth. People can say anything. And a lot of people are deceived by what a person says out of their mouth. I'm a Christian. Oh, yeah. Man, they are a great Christian. That's a powerful prayer warrior. They praise the Lord. They are anointed. They might not be. Just continue to watch them for a few days. Just watch them for a few days. The Bible says, beware of false prophets which come into you in sheep's clothing, but inward they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their what? You shall know them by their what? And Christians, I'm telling you, this is not talking about good fruit of the land either. You shall know them by their fruit. Do man gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth forth not forth good fruit is what? Cut down and cast into the what? Fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall do what? Know them. And if we keep following them, guess what? They're going to lead us right down the road of destruction. And we're not going to ever obey God. We're not going to serve God. We're not going to accept Jesus Christ. And what's going to happen is we're going to struggle for the rest of our life. And that's why a lot of people are struggling right now. Why? Because God is not a part of their life, or they're just doing their own thing. Why? Because the mind plays them, tells them that if you do this, you'll be more comfortable. Are you all still with me? And Christians are struggling in a lot of areas. You know, in John chapter 10, when Jesus was talking to us about the thief coming to steal, kill, and destroy, he also said, I have come that you may have life and that you may have it more what? Abundantly. That means in a super abundant way. Which gate are we going down? The one that gives life or the one that leads us to destruction? And I'm here to tell you that many people have been going down the road of destruction. Why? Because it's the easiest way to go. The road is wider. And everybody else is going down. Are they going? I might as well too. See you. Don't want to be you. Because it's never been God's will for anyone to live in poverty. It's never been in God's will for anyone to struggle. It's never been God's will for anyone to be miserable. It's never been God's will for anyone to be unhappy. It's never been God's will for anyone to be depressed, oppressed, and any other rest of the presses. It's never been God's will. But people are having problems being happy. They're struggling for peace. You know, they're struggling for joy. They're just struggling. And the reason for that is that they're not allowing the work on the inside of them to be done by the ones who's on the inside trying to do the work. They're fighting against it. Fighting against it. With the mind of all things, the battleground of Satan, the mind is a terrible thing to try to fight with. Are you all still with me? Amen. And people are struggling in, areas. Relationships, they're struggling. Finances, they're struggling. Big time, Christians. And listen, they are struggling so bad that they just continue to borrow money from people and they know they can't pay it back. Just borrow it. And I'm not talking about, you know, borrowing, getting a home loan or a car loan. Because, you know, not many people have $200,000 in their pocket. Amen. But I'm talking about people just borrowing $20 and $40 and $110 over and over again. And they know they can't pay it back. They know they can't. And they get themselves deep and deep in debt from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet. It's not God's way, especially not for Christians. It's a tragedy. But you know that the Bible tells us that we should be the lender and not the borrower? Now, the Bible, people say it's a sin to borrow. No, it's not a sin to borrow. Because if there's a sin to borrow, why would we be a lender? But as Christians, we should be, once again, the example to the world of how good God is. The Bible wants us to be the lender and not the borrower. But if we do not obey the word, if we do not walk down the right path that leads to life, we're not going to be a lender. We're going to keep borrowing money from people. And then when it's time to pay people back, you see them, you go in the opposite direction. And the bad thing, you couldn't pay it back when you got the money. In debt to your neck. Why? Because we are not doing and following the conditions that we need to follow in order to live abundantly. Very quickly, my time's almost up. Listen. The workers on the inside of us reminds us of how to receive in abundance. The workers will remind us, the Bible says, give and it shall come back to you. Good measure, pressed down, taken together, and running over. It's in there. They're convincing us to follow the word. The Bible tells us, it's telling you, in Malachi, bring all tithe to the stars and prove me the Lord will open the windows of heaven. They just try to convince us to do what the Word is telling us to do. Conditions. The Bible says, it says, if you sow sparingly, you'll reap sparingly. If you sow bountifully, you'll reap. It tells us. And when we're busy saying, I just don't have it to give. Well, then the workers remind us, the Word of God says, God gives seed to the sower. So if you start sowing, I don't have. The reason why Christians are struggling is because they're not following the conditions to have a superabundance so their needs will be met. They're just fighting against the dollar. They're fighting against it. And that's just one example. And a lot of people, Christians, are struggling because they're not following the condition that the workers are trying to get them to follow. I'm getting ready to close because the clock says 00. I'm going to say one more thing. Listen to this. In Matthew chapter 12, maybe, I have to qualify that. The Bible says that he who has will receive what more? Maybe 13. Maybe Matthew 13. But he who has not, that which he has will be what? Taken away. He who has is going to have more. And he who have not, that what he have will be taken away. Now, when you look at the scriptures, it kind of don't make sense in the natural, but in the spiritual, it does. He that have not, that what he has will be taken away. Well, if he have not, how can he don't have anything to be taken away? But what the verse is saying is that he who has not, I don't have it. I can't do it. Well, guess what? If you don't do anything with the seed that you have, when you lose it, then you're not going to have anything. You really ain't going to have anything. So we need to follow God's conditions. Now I'm closing because my time is up. I'm not going to get into another 30 minutes, but I can. But I don't know y'all have other things to do. Stand to your feet. But listen, what I'm trying to get to us is that a lot of people, Matthew 13, I was correct, Matthew 13, a lot of people in life, to include Christians, are struggling in life because we are not allowing the workers in us to do what they're in there to do. They're in there to lead us in a position where we can receive God's blessings in a super abundant way. Some people say, the reason why I'm struggling is they ain't got anything to do with God. It's because of the economy. Everything is just messed up right now because of COVID-19. Christian, this is what you can never forget. God doesn't care anything about the economy. The Bible never said that God shall supply all of our needs based on, hey man, that speaker don't like me, based on how the economy is doing. The Bible says that my God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory through who? Christ Jesus. Not the economy's riches. His. And because God is a God of abundance, his riches never run out. I'm here to tell you, there's a way of a man that seems right, and that way will always lead to destruction. And there are a lot of people who are struggling right now in the world, to include Christians, because they have not taken the time to spend time in the Word to get to know that God truly is an abundance God. And they are not experiencing his exceeding super abundant blessings. And the reason why they're not receiving it is because the power that's working in them and through whom God allows them to receive his exceeding abundant blessings, we're fighting against them. It's time to stop fighting. It's time for us to share this word that I spoke today to people out there who don't know Jesus. It's time for us to share this word with other Christians out there who are struggling in life when we are supposed to be the example for God to the rest of the world. And the only way that we can do it is first, we must do it ourselves. Stop fighting. The mind can't win. If it could, God would have never told us to renew it with the word of God. Amen? Somebody give God a hand of praise because he's worthy.